It's good to see your presence this morning, a beautiful day, and God has blessed us richly. We'd like to study this morning on the subject, Why I Need Jesus. In Philippians 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. We can do everything that God wants us to do through Jesus Christ who will strengthen us. The prevailing opinion of the world about Christianity, according to Jesse Ventura, I'm sure many of you have heard of him. I think he was governor of Minnesota or something. And he said, organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. And so that's his opinion of God and being a Christian. Larry Flynn, I'm sure you've heard of him. Religion has caused more harm than any other idea since the beginning of time. There's nothing good I can say about it. People use it as a crutch. And so this is the attitude of Larry Flint. Religion is as helpful as throwing a drowning man both ends of a rope. Richard Dawkins. The Bible calls these men fools. Those who say there is no God, those that reject the Word of God, are fools in the eyes of God. Yes, they seem to think that religion is a crutch. Jesus tells us that we need Him. The prevailing idea is that you have to have some kind of serious trouble or just plain dumb to need Christianity. Well, I confess that I need Jesus Christ in my life. I'm not in financial trouble. I'm not about to go through a divorce. My children are fine. As a matter of fact, things seem to be going very well for me in my life. That doesn't mean I don't have any problems or any troubles that come along. Things wear out, things break down, and you have problems. But certainly I don't need Jesus as a crutch. I give thanks to God and pray for His continued blessings in my life. Jesus said that we need Him. We all need Him. In Mark 2 and verse 17, when Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And so Jesus Christ is the great physician. And He says those who are sick need the physician. We need Jesus because He can heal our diseases. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And so Jesus Christ said that we need Him, that He'll give us rest. He'll bless us with those things that we need in this life. There are those who turn to God when in trouble, but never think of Him in good times. Only time they think about God is when they're in having trouble or problems of any kind. Then when they're having good times, they forget about God. Also, there are those who trust in God in good times and continue to trust in Him in difficult times. And so we must put our complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ at all times. The circumstances of life do not determine whether or not a person needs Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are in our life. We always need Jesus. Why you and I need Jesus Christ? Well, we need Jesus because He is our Savior. Yes, I need Jesus as my Savior from sin. I was a sinner before I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I needed Jesus when I obeyed the gospel, and I continue to need Him in my life. We know the Bible says that all accountable persons sin. In Romans 3 and verse 23 it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person that reaches that age of accountability sinned against God. Jesus was the only one without sin. We sin by transgression, that is, by breaking God's laws. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And so anytime we transgress any of God's law, we sin. Also, we sin by omission, that is, failing to do those things that God has commanded us to do. In James 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Bible reveals the plight of sinners. The punishment for sin is eternal death and destruction. In Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the wages of sin is death, eternal death and destruction, to be cast into that lake of fire in hell. The Lord has prepared a place for sinners, and he calls it hell. In Matthew 25 and verse 41, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if we serve the devil, reject God, we'll be cast into hell with the devil and his angels. Matthew 25 and verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so it depends upon our life whether we're cast into hell or go to heaven. As a sinner, I faced hell as the consequences of having violated God's word. There's nothing I could do to save myself from the consequences of sin. And so when a person is a sinner, they're outside of Christ, there's no way they can save themselves separate and apart from their obedience to Christ. Not my regret, no amount of righteous living, no special deeds of kindness to humanity will save that sinner that rejects Christ's word. Jesus came to save me from the consequences of my sins. That's why he left that beautiful home in heaven and took upon himself the form of a man and lived here on earth and died on the cross so that I might be saved from the consequences of my sins. Jesus' death affects the remission of the sins of mankind. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He shed his blood on the cross for the remission of sins, so that we might have forgiveness. It's by Jesus' blood that we're cleansed and redeemed. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so Jesus paid the price. We're redeemed by his blood. Now he is not a Savior, but he is the Savior, the only Savior that God has provided for mankind. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the one way to the Father, the one way to heaven. In Acts 4 and verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so salvation is in Christ. There's no other can save us. I need Jesus also as my intercessor. After I obey the gospel and I'm baptized into Christ, I'm a child of God, I still need Jesus to intercede for me on my behalf. After I've been baptized into Christ, there's times when I do sin. In Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so many times a brother is taken in a fault. They commit a sin. And of course, we that are spiritual, he says, try to restore that one back to God. In James 5, verse 19 and 20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, one convert him, let him know, he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. And so sometimes, brethren, err. We may sin and do wrong. And we need to be converted. We need to be changed and come back to the Lord. And he says a multitude of sins are hid. After we're Christians and we sin, we still need Jesus. In 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so here John says, don't sin. But he says, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is our advocate. He is our intercessor. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, there's one God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so he's our intercessor. He's our advocate. And he's our mediator. Mediator is between God and man. We still need Jesus as our mediator and intercessor. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so we need Jesus to intercede in our behalf. When we sin, he pleads for us. He knows what it is to sin and to be tempted. Also, I need Jesus as an example. You know, we're always looking for someone as an example. We're all looking for an example to follow. Young children often follow or imitate their parents. Young adults seek to emulate those who are remembered for greatness, looking for someone to follow their example. The scriptures recognize the power of example. In Hebrews 10 and verse 6, it says, now these things are our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Here Paul writing to the Corinthians about the children of Israel in the wilderness, how they sinned in different ways against God. And we shouldn't make the same mistakes as they made. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And so we're to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect. He was without sin. The perfect example for us. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, Paul writing to Timothy. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And so Paul is telling Timothy to be an example before others. And so when we follow Jesus as our example, then others see us, see Jesus in our lives. Jesus is a perfect, sinless example. He was without sin, and I can follow his example in every way. Yes, when it comes to temptation, the devil is going to tempt us. We need to follow Jesus' example. In Matthew 4, verse 10 and 11, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We see how Jesus resisted the devil. We need to follow his example. Jesus is an example in suffering. Yes, suffering for us, dying on the cross. In Hebrews 5 and verse 7 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was hurt and that he feared. Yes, he prayed to the Father. Jesus didn't enjoy the suffering and the pain. He prayed to the Father, if it be possible. He says, let this cup pass from me. But he says, not my will, but thy will be done. In Matthew 26:39, he went a little further in the Garden of Gethsemane and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We need to follow this example. Is it God's will that we want? Jesus endured mistreatment and willingness to forgive. Yes, he is our example. He was willing to be mistreated. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And so regardless of what they did to him, he didn't fight back. He didn't try to get even with them. Yes, he was humble. In Luke 23 and verse 34, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know what they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's our example. When I make choices, I need to ask myself, what would Jesus do? Yes, what would he do? Also, I need Jesus to give meaning to my life. Most people are dissatisfied with their lives. They're not happy. They're not content. Their life is routine. They're bored with life, always trying to find something to do. Vanity of things are like Solomon, who had it all, but he says all is vanity. Solomon was rich. He had everything that he could desire, and yet he was not happy with those material things. In Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 14, he says, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And so material things will not bring happiness. We need Jesus to fulfill our needs. Yes, they have the most of life and nothing to live for. Jesus brings meaning to life and makes life worth living. I'm here because I was created by God in his image. And Genesis 1 and 1 says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created man. In Genesis 1 and 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, made them female, male and female created he them. And so God made us in his own image, in his own likeness. God has a purpose for you and me in this life. Being endowed with free will, I can choose to bring my life into subjection to Christ or rebellion. Yes, God did not make man like a puppet. He gives us the freedom to make our own choices and decisions. We can choose to serve Christ or rebel against him. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we're made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. And so we're going to appear in the judgment before Christ and give an account for our life. And so we need Christ in our life. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14 says, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And since I choose Christ, I've never regretted it. I've been a Christian for many years. I've never regretted being a Christian and serving Jesus Christ. He satisfies my every need, and life is fulfilling. Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. John 4 verse 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The water of life Jesus gives us. In John 6, 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. The water of life, the bread of life, Jesus gives us in living the Christian life. We sing the song, He is my everything, He is my all. Yes, Jesus is everything to us. I need Jesus for daily strength. Some things in this life are impossible to face alone. Yes, the death of a loved one or terrible things might happen in our life, and we need Jesus to be with us. People are facing their problems with pills, alcohol, and they have tried it alone, leaving out our Lord Jesus. No problem, however, is too big for Jesus. In Philippians 4:13, we read there, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 16 and 17, he says, at my first answer to man, this is Paul when he was in his prison at Rome, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He said they had all forsaken him, but he said the Lord stood with me and strengthened him. Yes, the Lord will strengthen us in our time of need. Our God is a refuge to us in time of trouble. The psalmist David in his Psalms many times speaks about God being his strength and his refuge. In Psalms 56, verse 3 and 4, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And so David put his trust in God. Yes, he had many problems in his life. In Psalms 3 and verse 6 says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of thousands of people that have set themselves against me round about. And so 10,000 of people had been against David here, but he put his trust in God. Psalms 46 verse 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Yes, God is our refuge and our strength. God cares when we are troubled. In 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so it's good to know that God cares. When we're hurting, when we're having problems, he cares for us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. In Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, let us hear the conversation without, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Yes, God has promised. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so we don't have to fear what men might do to us. The song that we sing, the lily of the valley. Yes, I have a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the lily of the valley, and him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Yes, he is the lily of the valley. I need Jesus to win the victory over the grave. You know, if Jesus Christ had not come and died on the cross and was resurrected, then we would be without hope. Yes, there would be no glorious resurrection. I think that we all fear death to some extent. In Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death we might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." And so Jesus Christ, yes, says through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Jesus did destroy the power of Satan. The experience of death is the most difficult any are called to face upon this earth. Without Christ, life is senseless, bitter end to the human experience. However, Christ brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Yes, he abolished death. Through Jesus, we overcome death and the grave. Jesus gives us victory over the grave. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Through Jesus, we have victory over the death. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 through 58. He said, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so victory through our Lord Jesus Christ over death, over the grave. We know we're going to be resurrected from the dead. And if we've been found faithful, receive that eternal life. There's hope for eternal life in heaven for the Christian. John 14, verse 1 and 2. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus has gone to prepare that beautiful place in heaven for us. In 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5, "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." An inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Yes, if we're Christians. In conclusion, you need Jesus too. If you're not a Christian, you need Jesus. You need to come to him. You need a Savior, and he has promised that he will save you if you'll come to him. You need an intercessor, that is, he pleads in our behalf. You need an example to follow. Jesus is that perfect example. Your life needs meaning. Yes, if you become a Christian and follow the teachings of Christ, your life will have meaning. You need strength for living. Jesus will give you that strength that you need. You need to win the victory over the grave. If you're not a Christian, well, the resurrection, you'll be judged. You'll be cast into that lake of fire and hell for eternity. And so Jesus gives us that victory over the grave. Will you come in obedience to Jesus Christ today? If you're here and you're not a Christian, why don't you obey the gospel? God provided a plan of salvation for you to be saved. Yes, you must have faith in God. Most of your denominations teach all you have to do is believe in Christ, accept Him as your Savior. But Jesus said that you must have faith in God, believe that He is. You must repent of your sins. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said you must confess Him before men with the mouth in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus said you must be baptized to be saved. Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so you must obey the gospel, live the Christian life, be faithful, and heaven will be your home. And so if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song.
Oh, to Jesus.